Well, let's take our Bibles and open up to the book of Romans, chapter number 5. Romans chapter 5. As you find your place there, I'd ask that you stand out of respect to the Word of God as we begin reading with verse number 1 and read down through verse number 5. Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Father, we're so grateful for your word. Thank you now as we study it for thy indwelling presence. Lead us and guide us into all truth for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The last times we were in the book of Romans, we looked at the first two verses of this chapter, and we talked about the three results of being justified by faith. God, in those two verses, lists three wonderful things that happen, things that we can get excited about. The peace with God, no longer at enmity with Him. Now God is our friend. God is our Father. God wants to have that relationship with us, and now we can have that He desires. We saw also the access by faith into the grace of God. What a wonderful thing that is, God's grace, where God gives us those things we just don't deserve. If all He gave us was eternal life in heaven, boy, that would be wonderful. That would be exciting. That would be things to shout about and shout out, hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord, because heaven is such a wonderful place. But God has given us so much more than that. Even in this life, day by day, if we would stop and contemplate His works of grace on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, on a minute-by-minute basis, the things God does for us that we so often take for granted, what a wonderful thing to have access into that grace of God. But then also, the third result of the justification by faith is that rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. Well, what a day when we step on heaven's golden shore. And as John did so in the fourth book of the Revelation, and he saw the throne of God, and he saw Him seated upon that throne, and he saw that full rainbow surrounding the throne, and the beasts, the four beasts worshiping God surrounding the throne, and he goes outward and outward and describes for us so much of the glory of heaven. You know, and I'm sure when we get there, we'll look back at the book of Revelation that gets us so excited now about heaven and its wonder and its splendor and its glory and its beauty. And we'll look back when we get there and we'll say, you know, those words were so inadequate for what God has created for us, because heaven is such a wonderful place, all reflecting the glory of God. And we rejoice in that. These are all good things. But as we then move into chapter 5, verse number 3. Those first four words, and not only so, what he's saying is not just that, or as the old classic statement says, but wait, there's more. He says there's more than just these things, more results than just being justified by grace that we're listening in the first two verses. But when we come to these verses, we're not necessarily so excited, are we? But as he says, we don't just rejoice and get excited because of those things, but there's also these tribulations that come our way. And he says, we glory in tribulations. Now, when's the last time that you endured what we would call a tribulation, a trial, a difficulty in life? When things didn't go your way, and it's so frustrating, and it can hurt so badly. And you begin to wonder, where is God in all of this? When you're in one of those situations, are you ready to shout hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen, God is good? Is that the first thought in your mind? But that's what God is telling us our response should be.
Now, I know it's not natural. I know it's not always how we feel, but the key word in this section of Scripture is that little word, knowing, in the middle of verse number 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing. So often we hear that we ought to follow our heart, and at times like those, our heart is breaking in times of trial and tribulation. We're doubting, we're questioning, we're wondering in our heart, is God good? Is it worth serving God? Just think about where Job was as he followed his heart. And the pain he endured and suffered and how he felt so distraught and abandoned by God and the midst of his difficulties. And we so often feel that we're in the same situation as Job was if we follow our heart. The heart is the seat of our emotions. And our emotions can mislead us and betray us. God says you've got to rise above your emotions, rise above your heart. He says there's something that is more important, something that ought to prevail, something that ought to rule in your heart, and that's knowledge, knowing. You see, God has given us in this book that we call the Holy Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instruction before leaving earth. He tells us how to interpret the things that come into our life and how to react and respond to these things, even the tribulations, even the trials. And in this particular passage, he tells us the results of the trials and tribulations. And so, we find the statement, we glory in tribulation. What does it mean to glory? It's a word that is used in many different ways in the Word of God. In this particular instance, it seems to indicate to rejoice. To rejoice in tribulations. To wear it as a badge of honor that God would entrust us with the difficulty, the tribulation that He's allowing in our lives. Because even in the midst of the storm, God is still in command and God is still in control and nothing has taken Him by surprise. And He means it only for your good and for His glory. And when we know these things, it's easier for us then to, even though it's difficult and even though it's hard, it's still possible for us to glory, to rejoice in those tribulations. You know, Paul was never discouraged by his circumstances. Maybe I shouldn't use the word never. Maybe I should use the word rarely. Discouraged by his circumstances. Why is that? Because I believe he lived Romans 8:28. We're going to get there eventually, but let's turn over there and read that verse now. This is a verse that I know you know, even if you don't know you know it. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. And we know that all things work together for good. Boy, we love that part, don't we? To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We all know it doesn't say that all things are good. It just says that God's going to take all the events in your life, all the circumstances, all the high points and all the low points and everything in between, and He's going to work it out for good in your life as long as you love Him, as long as He's your Savior, as long as you put your trust in Him for eternal life. He says, I've got this. At the church in Ohio, we had a big Veterans Day service every year. And we'd decorate the church. It actually more resembled a museum on that day. A lot of things were placed around and people would bring things in and a lot of metal shadow boxes and just a lot of things from soldiers would use. It was really kind of neat, but we'd put a lot of plaques and pictures on the walls too, and my favorite one, and maybe you've seen this, I've seen it in other places, it was a picture about like that, and it was some soldiers on a hilltop, and kind of a sunset in the background, and the caption underneath it was, don't worry America, we've got this. Don't worry America, we've got this. In other words, they're going to take care of the problem. We can rest easy. We can sleep at night. We don't have to fret and wring our hands because they're out there protecting us. And praise God for our veterans and those that are serving in our military all across this world. But let me suggest to you this morning that God up in heaven, in the midst of your storm, is looking down and saying, don't fret, don't worry, don't be concerned. I've got this. He says, I'm still in control. Remember that day when the disciples were in the boat? Now remember, some of those men were seasoned fishermen. They had grown up on the Sea of Galilee. And they were in the midst of a terrible storm. And they thought they were going to drown. These men were crying like little girls, essentially, that grew up and were in many, many storms, but this one was maybe the worst they had ever seen. And here comes Jesus walking across the water. I like that it says he walked. He wasn't running. He was walking, just strolling across, out for a midnight walk. They invite him in the boat. He stills the storm, doesn't he? See, he's got this. What storm are you in? Jesus whispers from heaven, I've got this. You see, we can glory in tribulations because we know some things. We've learned in the Word of God how God operates. We've learned in the Word of God how He loves us. We've learned in the Word of God how God is always good. We've learned in the Word of God that all things work together for good. So we needn't fret. We needn't be concerned. He's going to explain, and I don't know that we'll get that far this morning, but he's going to explain his purpose in sending those tribulations your way. But we just need to learn to live, Romans 8:28, with the knowledge that will give us the peace we should have. Do you ever go through difficult times and you're a little ashamed at the circumstances you're in? Maybe it's a financial setback. And you run into a circumstance where you just don't have the money for something. It's so embarrassing. Paul said, because he ran into those often, because he traveled all the time. But Paul had an interesting statement to make in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 20. He said, according to my earnest expectation of my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body. Now notice what he says after that, whether it be by life or by death. Paul said, I'm just simply God's tool. I'm God's vessel. God wants to reveal himself to man on this earth that they might look heavenward and realize that they're sinners, that there is a holy God in heaven, and that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. He says, I want people to know that. I understand God wants people to know that. And God is going to use me however he wants to communicate that message to a world that's lost in their sin and dying and going to the devil's hell. Not that the devil's in control of hell or owns it, but God created it for him. He says, I'm willing to die to get that message across. I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do. Question is, are we? We say, well, I'll do whatever God wants me to do as long as I don't have to leave my comfort zone. I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do as long as I have good plate of chicken every night and Captain Crunch every morning for breakfast. That just makes me smile. Now you know my perfect diet. You'll wind up with a figure like mine. That'd be terrible. But anyway, if everything goes well, if everything is nice and hunky-dory, I'm willing to serve God. But when God puts a little bit of pressure on, when God says there's going to be a little bit of hardship, when God says you're going to have to suffer a little bit, remember, that was just quoted from Philippians. When was Philippians written in Paul's life? When he was in prison. It's called one of the prison epistles. He was in prison for preaching Christ. He hadn't committed any crimes. He hadn't done anything wrong. He was only demonstrating love, delivering the message of God. And yet they rose up against him and they threw him in prison. And then he had to appeal to Caesar. And he's in a Roman jail. Not a place you want to be. I've been in jail before. Yes, I've been in there on the right side. I was in there on the wrong side once. It's a short story. Maybe I'll tell it sometime, but I probably won't. But I was there once. That's not my favorite vacation destination. That was before I was saved, just to clarify it. That's enough said. But you know, when I was in there on the right side, went in there with a prison ministry one time, you know, I don't think a single one of those guys wanted to be in there that were inmates. But that's where Paul was. Now, those guys that were there, probably all of them were guilty. If we trust our judicial system, they were. Paul wasn't. But Paul says, I'm willing to do that for the glory of God, to communicate the message of God's love to a lost and dying man, because how else are they going to hear? How else are they going to know that they can't work their way to heaven? How else are they going to know that religion will not get them to heaven? How else are they going to ever hear that message that Jesus came to this earth to die for their sins, that if they just simply trust Him, put their faith in Him, that He died in their place, and that they put their faith in Him as their Savior and call on His name, He'll save them forever. He said, I'm willing to die for that. And so he wasn't ashamed. Whatever God brought into his life, he was okay with it. What did God bring into his life? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. God had Paul record some of the things he endured, trying to get the message of God's love out to a lost and dying world. And we've read these lists before. You're familiar with them, but I want to maybe add something you haven't heard before. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, let's start in verse number 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well-known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Paul describes some of the things he endured as he went out preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in this list, I think what I see is Paul is describing his response to others when he's going through the difficult times. He talks there towards the end. He talks about the evil report, the good report as deceivers, yet true. That's how he was, truthful. As unknown, yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, making many rich. You see, Paul was always aware that he was on this earth to influence others for God. And even when he went through the hard times, he realized that they're watching me. They want to know how I'll respond. You know, one of the most fascinating things I find in the study of Christianity is when Christians behave like Christians in the times of the steepest persecution. When they are being marched literally to imprisonment, which would result, on more cases than none, result in death, they would go singing and rejoicing and praising God. What would happen is those that were herding them into the prisons would observe their behavior and realize that these people aren't angry. They're not cursing us. They're not trying to harm us and hurt us and defame us. And it changed their hearts. Paul understood this, that when we suffer, as a Christian should suffer, rejoicing, knowing this, that people watch and their hearts are moved. And so as I read this list in 2 Corinthians 6, I see Paul aware of that truth that others are watching, and he was always careful of his response while he was in the most difficult of tribulations. Turn over to chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We have another list. We'll start in verse number 23. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23. Paul says this, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Boy, Paul's talking about a pretty tough list to endure, isn't he? What Paul's doing here is he's responding to those critics that said, you know, Paul wasn't really who he said he was. He wasn't sent by God. He wasn't an apostle. He's not someone to listen to. He's not someone to follow. He's a charlatan. He's a fake. And Paul says, are they ministers? He says, I am more, because I have suffered all these things and I just kept going because God's call was on my life. And he used these circumstances to authenticate his ministry. The world's looking for real Christianity today. There's a lot of fakes and charlatans out there. You can just turn on the television, you'll find a lot of them right there displayed before your eyes. And as long as everything is going smoothly and going their way, boy, they've got a smile on their face and they will say, praise the Lord, and everything will be great. But you let tribulation come into their life and they'll just scatter like cockroaches when the lights are turned on. I've never seen that happen. I hope you haven't either. Maybe you have. But I've heard they just scatter when the lights are turned on. But you know, we're in the world today where the world is looking for real Christianity because there's so many fakes. God says, I'm going to tighten the screws in your life a little bit. And you respond in the right way, and it's going to authenticate the Christianity that you profess. If we run from trials and tribulations and we moan and complain and curse God essentially by our response to those difficult times in our lives, the world's going to look and just shake their head and say, yeah, I knew. I knew it wasn't worth trusting Christ. I knew it wasn't worth serving the Savior. I'm just going to stick with what I've got. You see, sometimes we just need to be aware of that. We need to know these things. Paul had endurance in tribulation, proving he was who he said he was. And then in the next chapter, we see Paul referencing just one issue he had in life, that thorn in the flesh. But that doesn't mean it was any less of a tribulation to him as these others that we've read. In verse number 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number, or excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now notice the end of verse number 9. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul is sharing his philosophy of tribulation. This philosophy of tribulation was that the power of God is resting on me to help me endure this and to give me the strength and power to continue to serve God in spite of the difficulty, in spite of the hardship, in spite of all that's going on around me. I can stay faithful, I can stay true, and God can use me because with God all things are possible, and I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's what Paul's trying to tell us here. And so when we consider the tribulations that we endure, the things that come in our life, that our list may not read like the Apostle Paul's list that we read, but we still have tribulations and trials. God told us to expect those fiery trials in the Christian life. And God says, I have a purpose for it. I have a plan for it. It's nothing but good. It's nothing but my glory. It's nothing but what the world needs and what you need. So, but you need to know a few things. If you're going to endure it successfully, you need to know a few things. You need to know that I'm always good, that I'm in control. You need to watch your response to others. You need to endure. Just keep on being faithful as proof or authenticism of Christianity. You need to realize that that's when I'm going to use you, is when you're the weakest. When you think you're strong, be careful. Pride goes before the fall, doesn't it? Stay humble. Stay submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ, even in difficulties, knowing these things. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for explaining to us the purpose of the difficulties you allow in our lives. Father, we know you respond emotionally when we suffer. But Father, you continue to allow the suffering because you know the end result. Father, give us the knowledge of these things. And though we may not recognize always the reason or the end result, but we have the knowledge that you're always good. So help us to remain faithful. And so now during the time of invitation, let us make that commitment that no matter what you bring, whether it be life or death, as the Apostle Paul said, we'll stay faithful, we'll remain cheerful, and we'll always be yielded. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.